I heard a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling and the signs of end times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get my children." At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. Shall rise to meet him in the air. But then those that remain will be quickly changed, will be changed in a moment at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
The Lord's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I don't believe that. It doesn't change anything.
Amen.
He's still coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're pretty sad, aren't we? We think what we believe changes God. It doesn't change God's word, brethren. Jesus is coming back.
Right.
Well, you know, he's not coming today. Well, he may not, but then again, he may.
Right?
So you can't prove he is. You can't prove he's not. The Lord's coming back. I can prove that out of this book. And we need to get ourselves ready. The Bible says ought to be ready. That's what Jesus said. Be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so I trust that God would just quicken us to the fact that the signs of the times are being fulfilled. So I've been hearing that all of my life. It may be because little by little signs have been being fulfilled all of your life. Depends on how old you are. Amen? I think that the rapid succession of more signs being fulfilled have certainly kicked into gear. I sure believe that in my lifetime. And I'm just glad that I know how this thing's going to wind down and end up, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. And so we thank the Lord for His Word and for His goodness to us and for letting us in on His plan. God let us in on His plan. Didn't have to, but He has. Well, I was going to preach out of Mark chapter number 8, but since Pastor Brandon read out Mark chapter number 7, I'm just carrying on. Amen. I want to preach a message to you out of this section of Scripture that the Lord laid on my heart this past week. Been doing some devotional reading in the book of Mark, and I enjoy the Gospel of Mark, and I enjoy all the Bible. But I guess because of the nature in which the Gospel of Mark was written, it's one of those straightway books, right? That's what Mark kept saying, straightway, immediately. I mean, Mark people have called it the action gospel. And the gospel, regardless of its action, amen, the gospel does work. But people say that about Mark. When we get into this scripture here, when you first read it, you look at it and you say, okay, this is kind of another miracle that Jesus did. If you're not careful, you just read through the book of Mark or any other of the scripture, and you'll see God doing miracles, and you'll think, okay, just another miracle. And certainly this is not one of the, I don't want to say popular, but more familiar miracles. As a matter of fact, Matthew, Luke, John, they don't even record this particular miracle. They record the things around it, the feeding of the 4,000. And I said that right, 4,000, not 5. There was two different feedings. And then the Syrophoenician woman bringing her daughter. But there's a couple of things in here that I think I found very interesting as I began to look at the placement of what's going on in a lot of different people's lives here. And I thought about us. I thought about people. I thought about Fellowship Baptist Church. Just a lot of things going on in our lives. We're all different places of our lives. Some people maybe are on a high. They're just so thankful for maybe God's just recently done something miraculous for you, and you're just excited and thankful. And then maybe there's others that, well, life has just kind of gotten into a mundane, you know, just an existence type thing, to where 2020 kind of puts you in this frame of mind to where, you know, it's just kind of life as usual now and go through the motions. And it's kind of hard to get refocused. I don't know where you are in your life, but as I read this passage of Scripture, I think that God has something for everyone. I know He does. He has something for every one of us, regardless of where you are this morning. And so I want you to listen very carefully as we look at this. I want to talk to you about, if you'll notice in the verse 37, it says that the people there, after this miracle that Jesus did, they were beyond measure astonished. I mean, you know, you couldn't put it into words how that it impacted their lives. I mean, they couldn't write it down. They couldn't tell you. You know, I mean, it was beyond measure. They just couldn't, you know, they couldn't write it down. Words couldn't tell the impact that this had on them. Now, notice what their response was, and this is what I want to hone in on. This is what they said. He had done all things well. And I'm here to report to you, and I'll get to this maybe a little later, the Lord willing, that you're looking at a man that has tried to serve the Lord. I've been saved for almost 40 years, and I've tried to serve the Lord with my life in those 40 years. I've certainly let Him down a lot, but I can tell you, while I haven't always done things well, He has.
Amen.
He has done all. All is a big word.
Yeah.
Say, now, wait a minute, preacher, it's just three letters. Well, okay, it's still a big word. He hath done all things well.
Amen.
And that's my testimony this morning. So what's your testimony, preacher? He hath done all things well. What's your testimony? Can you testify to that? Can you testify that God has done all things well? Now, that doesn't mean you didn't have any problems. It just meant that in those problems, God showed himself to you in such a way that you could say, God, you did that right. You did well there. I didn't know how this was going to work out, but God, you came through. You done well in that situation for me, and I just want to thank you for it. And we could go right on. I look back over the course of my life and right on up to today, my testimony. I talked about last week. Remember last week? Remember? Last Sunday morning we were talking about when Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, that because of their unbelief that he could there do no mighty work. Not that he wouldn't do it. He couldn't. And I said that'll be the story of many people's lives because of the lack of their faith. He could do no mighty work. Maybe it'll be on their epitaph. He could do no mighty work. But I pray to God that this will be my story right here. This will be my epitaph. He hath done all things well. God is such a wonderful God. Amen. He hath done all things. You know, you couldn't say that about anyone else.
Right.
Anyone else. But we can say it about God.
Amen.
He hath done all things well. What brought them to this place? What brought them to this place? There's so much to be said in this passage of Scripture. Let me just give you a few thoughts that God has given me. I want you to, first of all, notice what brought him to their region. If you'll notice, when Pastor Brandon started reading in verse 31, he departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of, and I want you to really take note of this place, Decapolis. Now, we know what a Decapolis, it's a 10 city surrounding right there at the Sea of Galilee. And you'll read about this place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a very popular event that took place. It's very familiar, and we'll get to it in just a moment. The last time the Lord Jesus was here, I mean, something miraculous took place. I mean, it was on a level that, too, as they said, it was beyond measure. It was when he met that man, that legion there in Gadara. That was right there in the region of Decapolis. And we'll see here in just a moment what the response of this area was. It was not a good positive response. It wasn't what you would think. You know, I mean, you do know about the man of Gadara, right? I mean, the legion, the man that had a legion of devils, and Jesus and the disciples, when they passed over, they went over to this area, and the man was living in the tombs, living among the dead. He was cutting himself. And the Bible says something that just will break your heart. Night and day, he was crying. He was cutting himself. They tried to bind him. They did what society tries to do. They couldn't help him. They just tried to isolate him and bind him. So that's what society does with sin. Society doesn't know how to deal with sin. Science doesn't know how to deal with sin. Listen to me. Medication doesn't know how to deal with sin. But God does. Jesus does. Amen. God knows how to deal with sin. And so there that man was, and Jesus done a work in his life. And you would have thought the people would have responded and said, wow, this is great. Would you stay in our town and just work in our town? Would you become a mainstay in our town? Would you become a pillar in our town and just set up shop here? We heard that they didn't want you down there in Nazareth, right? We heard they didn't want you there, and we heard that there are other areas that didn't welcome you, but my, I mean, you took our hardest case. You took this man that we were fearful of. He was reaping havoc on our community, and you completely changed his life. Would you stay around? That's not what they did, was it? You remember how they responded? They didn't respond too positive. As a matter of fact, let's just turn back just a couple of pages to Mark chapter number 5, and we'll just be reminded. You already know. Let's just be reminded how Mark said these folks responded in Mark chapter 5. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. In verse number 15, after Jesus had done a work in this man's life, the Bible says in verse number 15 of Mark, we're in Mark now, chapter number 5, it says, and they come to Jesus. This is the people of the town there, the city, the country. And it says, and they come and they see him that was possessed with the devil. Here's this man that had legion, many devils. And they see him, and it says, that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now look at this next statement. They were afraid. They thought, wow, how did he do that? People tend to get a little afraid of things they don't understand and can't comprehend. They do. And so the scripture says that they were afraid. And verse number 16 says, and they saw, it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Now watch this. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They said, Jesus, we want you to leave. We want you to leave. We don't want you to stick around. But Jesus didn't say, now wait a minute, consider what I've done. You want me to leave? I'll leave. And so the Bible says in verse number 18, when he was coming to the ship, what's he doing? He's leaving. Why? They said, we want you to leave. Right? Yeah. And the scripture says when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, listen, if they don't want you here and you're going to leave, take me with you. Amen. Don't leave me here with this crowd. Right? Yeah. I want to tell you something. This is not the message today, but nothing's changed. When the power of God is at work, society as we know it still doesn't know how to deal with it. They don't want anything to do with it. They'll try to shut her down. They'll try to tag something on your door. You can't meet anymore. Right? When society doesn't know how to deal with something, their way is just do away with it. Not try to understand or get involved or try to know about it. No, they're just get away with it. You're affecting the way that we go about things. You're intruding. You're changing. You're getting involved in areas that we don't want you to have nothing to do with. Hey, you're hurting business around here, right? I mean, essentially, that's what's happening here. You're hurting business around here, and so we want you to get out of town. Jesus, get out of town. I'll never forget when I went to pastor a church in South, the only church I've ever pastored in South Carolina. I was talking to a young man. And I was telling him where I was going to pastor. He said, And Sheridan and I were standing there, and we were talking. You better not go up there. Those folks don't want no church up there. I said, well, the devil doesn't either, but he doesn't get his way. Amen. God said, go. I'm going, brother. Amen. Now, these folks said, you know what? We don't want Jesus. And Jesus said, well, what now? I'm going to leave. Because he had a plan. And I want you to notice what his plan was. When that man went to him, and he said, listen, he said, if you're going to go, take me. But Jesus, in verse number 19, said, how be it? I'm in Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, he said, no, you can't go with me. Because I've got something I want you to do. Because Jesus knew and all things knew. He was coming back to that town. He knew. And he said, I'm going to leave, but just because I leave doesn't mean that you can't change the way this town feels. Now, Jesus is ascended back up into heaven. But just because Jesus is not walking the streets anymore doesn't mean that a town can't be changed. Because he saved me, and he saved you, and he saved us. And he's done in our life what needs to be done in the lives of those around us that's never experienced what God can do in their life. And he's left us to do it. And so he didn't take us to heaven when he saved us. Just like he didn't take this man with him when he saved him. He said, no, I want you to stay here because there's a lot of people in this town that need to hear what I can do for them just like I did for you. And so he said in verse number 19, I'm sorry, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, don't miss this, in verse number 20, and began to publish in Decapolis. Now there's our area. So this man that had wreaked havoc on this area. You ought to read about it. If you've never read it, you ought to read Mark 5. Where, I mean, this man was full of devils. Full of devils. Cutting himself, reaping havoc on the town. And Jesus changed his life. You know, like he did yours. Like he did mine, we that are saved. Changed his life. Now, some folks sit there and that, listen, that's just like water running off a duck's back. You know why? Hey, because their life's never been changed. But I'm here to tell you, if Jesus has ever changed your life, you can relate to what I just read to you. You know exactly what the Bible's talking about right here because Jesus has changed your life. And oh, what a difference in my life since Jesus passed by. And this man said, Lord, take me with you. And he said, no, I'm not going to take you with me. But I'm going to put you to work for me. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for me, and that's what he's done for you. He hasn't taken us home yet. Now, he's going to come and get us. We heard that song today. But until he does, we have a work to do. And so this man in verse number 20, the scripture says, he published in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Watch this next statement. And all men did marvel. All right, in the process of time, he passes through his own town. Remember, we looked at it last week in chapter number 6. And they said, we don't want you. That's the son of Mary. That's that old carpenter. We don't want you. And he said, well, he could do no mighty work. And then he goes through Tyre and Sidon. And there's some things that take place. But I want you to notice in chapter 6, in verse number 45, chapter 6, verse 45, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. I mean, Mark chapter 6, verse 45, before Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He was tired. You say, well, Jesus doesn't get tired. Well, sure he does. He was in a human body. And he wanted to be alone. Now, I don't want you to miss the steps that are being taken here. He said, it's time for me to be alone with the Father. Can I tell you, it's very important that you get alone with God. Now, why is that important, preacher? Well, we're going to see here in just a moment. I'm going to tell you the people that are doing God's will. I'm going to point out the people that are doing God's work. It's the people that get alone with God. It's people that spend time before the Lord. But see, you'll never see the needs that people have until you get alone with God. See, God has to show me, God has to show you the needs of people. You know why a lot of churches, and listen, I'm not throwing any church under the bus. I'm just stating some facts here. A lot of churches have become inactive, don't even care what other people are going through. They're just having church as usual, just going through the motions. Could care less about people in the community hurting. Well, preacher, I care if somebody's hurting. When's the last time you helped somebody that was hurting? When's the last time you got out of your comfort zone and went to somebody and helped them? Went out of your way to help somebody. I'm not talking about a text. Thank God for text. Don't you misunderstand me. Jesus was tired. Tired. And he wanted to get alone, and he got alone, and he prayed, and then he helped the disciples. You can read that in chapter number 6. In chapter number 7, I want you to look in chapter 7 and verse number 24. He was so tired. Now, rarely will you see Jesus do this. I want to help somebody this morning to begin to get involved in ministry. So I've been called to ministry. Well, that doesn't mean you're involved in it. I can't tell you over the course of years how many people have come to me and say, I want you to know I've got the call to preach on my life. Thank God for that. But if that's all you've got, you're missing something. And so he said this, he said in verse number 24, the Bible says in chapter number 7, and from thence he arose, meaning Jesus, and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He was tired. He wanted to get away. And he said, I don't want anybody to know it. I want to just rest. Can I tell you, every person in here needs this. You need it. It's good to just get some rest. To just get alone, amen, and spend some time with God. It's good, it's healthy, but it'll do something for you too. It'll recharge, it'll refocus. Now the scripture says that though he wanted this, notice what it says in verse 24, he could not get it. You see that? Chapter 7, verse 24, couldn't get it. He wanted help. He wanted to rest, but Jesus couldn't get it. You know why? Look what the scripture says. Because there was a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. She heard, Jesus is in town. She went right to him. And he dealt with her. You know, this Syrophoenician woman with the daughter. You've read this. I hope you have. And so right after that, we get into our text in verse number 31. So he heals the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. In verse number 31, again, he departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon and came into the Sea of Galilee throughout the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Remember this area? Last time he came to this area, they were praying that he would leave. We want you to leave. All right? So now he's come full circle and he's back here. We want you to leave. And he did, but he didn't stay gone. Aren't you glad when God leaves, he doesn't stay gone? Amen. You know, there's been times in probably all of our lives, though we may not have said it exactly the same way that those folks said it, God, leave me alone, or Jesus, we want you to get out of town. We've in our actions or in our words and our mind, we've had a very similar mindset that those folks had, if we'd just be perfectly honest now. But I'm glad that God doesn't leave us to ourselves. Oh, I'm so thankful that God doesn't listen to me sometimes. Hey, man, you listening to me? I'm so thankful that God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Amen. I'm not going to do that. By the way, let me tell you something. If you're saved, God's not going to leave you alone. I just want God to leave me alone. No, that's what you think you want. And you better be glad that God's not going to do that. Because if you're saved, God has a purpose. And that purpose is to conform you unto His Son, Jesus Christ. So now let's see what happens here. He goes back to this town. And they said, we want you to go. We want you to go. And the man said, if you go, I want you to take me with you. And he said, no, you're not going to go with me. I want you to tell some people in this town. And he did. And it worked. It worked. Can I tell you, doing what Jesus said always works. Amen. I see in this the power of one man's testimony. I just don't see a man getting healed. When you read verses 31 through 37, if you don't do the background work, if you don't really follow the flow of the Scripture, you'll miss it. And you'll say, okay, thank God a man that was deaf and stammered in his speech, he got healed. Thank God for that. Oh, there's so much more than that that takes place here. There's so much more than that. What do you see, preacher? Oh, look, the Bible says that when he got into Decapolis, look at verse 32, and they, I have that underlined in my Bible, and they bring unto him one that is deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They, yeah, those ones that before had said, we want you to leave. Amen. Amen. We want you to leave. We want you to get out of town. They prayed him. If you'll read Luke, they begged him, get out of town, get out of town, get out of town. They besought him. Leave, leave, leave. He did. But he told that man that he healed, he said, I want you to go and I want you to tell people what I've done for you. And he did. He went and told everyone. He was telling them all. And boy, they got a little of what he got. And they realized, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. What a change he makes in someone's life. And then here was this fella that was in a bad way. Now listen, I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope you'll hear me out before you judge me. I believe God has a special place in His heart for special needs and handicapped folks. As a matter of fact, when I study the life of Jesus, I see that He does. There's just some people that Jesus gravitated to. And when verse number 32, it says, and they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Now, why do you think they brought him? You think he was the only one in town that needed Jesus? I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe they had tried. Maybe they had worked with him. I don't know. The very fact that he had an impediment in his speech, I'm going to go ahead and say he wasn't born deaf. He could speak, it just wasn't clear. So something had happened to him. Maybe they felt sorry for him. I don't know what it is, but they knew this. They knew this man, Jesus, we've seen what he can do. He's been in our town before. We've seen what he can do. We've heard. We've experienced. We've trusted him. So they brought him to Jesus. You know why? Because they knew he could do something for this man's life. Hey, where's that gone in our lives? Where is that gone? To where we believe, you know what, if I could just get them to Jesus, if I could just get them to Jesus, he could change their life. I believe many people still believe that. I hope every person under the sound of my voice still believes that. You work with someone. There's someone in your family. Maybe someone lives under your roof. I don't know. Maybe someone lives in your neighborhood that you know very closely and you love them with all of your heart and they are in a bad way. But in your mind, you just say, oh, I just don't know. They've tried everything. They've tried doctors and medicine, herbs and this and that and science, and nothing seems to be able to help them. But do you know that Jesus can help them? Do you know that if you could just get them to Jesus, see, He can help them? That's what these people believed. Oh, would to God that as a church, that as a people of God, that we would get back to this place right here if we could just get them to Jesus. If we could just get them to Jesus. It's not about some hyped up speech. Listen to me now. It's not about some pep talk or about some new found medicine or herb. Hey, listen to me. If we could just get them to Jesus. Just get them to Jesus. Oh, but now, preacher, this is a tough case. Can I tell you? He specializes in tough cases. Do you believe that? Oh, I hope that you do. I trust that you do. And so the Bible says that they brought him, and notice this in verse number 32, these people that were beseeching him to leave now are beseeching him to put his hands upon one of their own. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That just does something in my heart to know that God would love us so much that after we told him, just go away, that he would come back and that he would do something with compassion. And so he touched this man. Now this is what really, and I want you to get this. So what does this mean to me? Well, I look at the way Jesus deals with this man and it rebukes me. And so I want to share it with you. And I hope God will speak to your heart about it. Who are you touching? Who am I touching? Who are we reaching? See, he's left us here. Lord, take me on. Nope. Leaving you here. I've got someone's life I want you to make a difference in. I've got some people I want you to make a difference in their life. Well, preacher, I'm busy. Jesus was too. Well, preacher, I'm tired. Jesus was too. As a matter of fact, if you'll read again in verse number 24, he went somewhere to just kind of steal away for a little bit and be away from everyone, but he couldn't. There was a woman who found out about it, and she said, my daughter's got a devil. He didn't say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm on vacation. Call someone else. Yeah. Someone else take care of it. The Lord didn't do that. By the way, Jesus doesn't want you to do that either. And he doesn't want me to do that. Brethren, we'll always be busy people. We're busy people. Anybody in here not busy? I told you we're busy people. We're busy people. We've all got things going on. If we wait until we're not busy to minister to people, we'll never minister to anyone. Can I ask you a question? I want you to write down on a piece of paper who you're ministering to. And I want you just to look at that list and say, could it be more? Could my list be longer? I don't know. I'm not indicting you. I'm just asking you. Let's look at the way Jesus ministered to this man. You know what he could have said? He could have said, be healed, and that would have been it. But he didn't. He didn't. He gave us some steps to take as we minister to people. Let's look at them quickly, okay? Look, if you would, in verse number 33. He took him aside from the multitude. I think this is very important. What's he saying to this man? Saying, I want to personally minister to you. You're important to me. I want to invest in your life. When's the last time you've done that with someone? When's the last time you said, hey, I want to sit down with you and talk to you about God or about Jesus or about a need or about praying with you? And by the way, I want everyone to listen. You say, well, preacher, I have you to know I'm 12 years old. I don't care if you're 112 years old. You can minister to somebody. Everyone can minister to someone. Say amen with me. Come on now, say amen with me. Amen. I want every person in this building to understand God has something for you to do. God wants you to help someone. As a matter of fact, if you've been helped, you ought to want to help someone. You ought to want to help someone. If God has done something in your life, it ought to be worth sharing with someone. Say, preacher, I'm discouraged. Then get out and help someone. If you're watching by live stream and you're at home, you say, I'm discouraged, I'm scared, I don't know what to do. Hey, reach out and help somebody, amen. Reach out and help somebody. Do a lot for you in your life. If we're not careful, we'll get so isolated and introverted and we'll think, well, God doesn't have anything for me to do. I'm going to sit here and wait on everybody to come and minister to me. That's not the way God does it. So, Jesus did this in verse number 33. He took him aside from the multitude. When's the last time you just took someone aside? Said, brother, come here. Come here. Come here, sister. Family, I want to sit down with you, and I want you to know you matter to me, and I want to help you. How can I help you? You'd be amazed. There's people that need help all around us, brethren, all around us. You say, well, preacher, it might be an inconvenience. I think it was an inconvenience to Jesus, but he did it. I think he wanted to get away and steal away and have some time on his own. But he said, nah, I want to make a difference in someone's life. See, if I'm going to make a difference in someone's life, if you're going to make a difference in someone's life, we're going to have to deal with interruptions. See, I don't like this preacher. Yeah, I didn't think you would. That's why I prayed double this week. Because we don't like being told that we don't have an excuse. I don't like being told that. We don't like being told, you have no excuse. I want to ask you again, who are you ministering to? Who are you making a difference in their life? Notice what Jesus did. Don't miss this. This is deliberate. It's deliberate. He called the man to the side, and then notice if you would, in the next verse, I think it's verse 34, the Bible says that he did this. When he called the man to the side in verse number 33, no, it is verse 33, he called him to the side, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and look at this next word, and touched his tongue. He touched him. That's personal, right? That's not a message on Facebook. I'm not saying that you can't shoot a little encouragement that way or a text. But listen, if we're going to make a difference in someone's life, it's going to take more than a text. I'm speaking to myself as much as I am you. It's going to take more than a Facebook message. You got to touch somebody, right? Got to get up close and personal with them. Got to get there on their level. What? Touch them at the level of their need. Now what he did? He touched his ears and he touched his tongue. What did he do? He touched them at the level of his need. If I'm going to help somebody, that's what I'm going to have to do. If you're going to help someone now, that's what you're going to have to do. You say, well, I want to help people, preacher. I believe a vast majority of the people sitting here today really does want to help people. And after all, isn't that what the church is here for? If the church is not here to help people in a relationship with God and to grow and to find their purpose in life, then we're not doing God's work. And so he said here, he said in verse number 33, he touched him. All right, now look at the next thing he did. And I believe that touch there, it's a connection. He just connected with them. He got them to their self. He didn't just speak it out in front of everybody. No, he got him alone. Now, he didn't always do this. But he said, I want to show you there's some cases you're just going to have to do this way. If you're going to make a difference in their life, you're not going to be able to just speak it corporately. You're going to have to call them aside and deal with them. Number two, look what he did in verse number 34. And looking up to heaven. All right? Now, why did he do that? Well, I can't say for sure, but I believe, they got to remember, this man couldn't hear. He was deaf. He wanted them to know, my help coming from above. This is who you're getting help from. Right up there. Right up there. You're getting help right up there. This is not about me. Now, it was about him. But as I'm helping people, see, he does some things for us. So how do you know that? Well, notice if you would, in verse number 34, the latter part of it. Be open. Well, he couldn't hear. Sometimes God wants us, listen, God will do something, but he won't do it for the one that needs not only to have it done, he does it so I can hear. He wants me to know who's getting the work done. Amen? See, God wants me to know it's not about you, Dale. It's not about you, David. It's not about you, Brandon. It's not about you, Dan. It's not about you, Marcus. Not about you, Troy. Hear me now. It's about God as our helper. And God said, I'll work through you if you'll let me. I'll work through you if you'll let me. So when you're helping people, you be sure to let them know now, this is not about me. Amen? This is not about me. We don't make hero worship out of men. This is about God. This is about God. And Jesus looked up and he said, this is where you get your help. You're going to get some help today, but it's going to come from above. Amen? Right? And so he said, number one, he touched him. And then he looked up. He looked up. And I just believe with all of my heart that he was saying, this is where the help, my help coming from above. You're going to get some help today, son, because I'm representing him. Amen? I'm representing him. That's where your help's coming from. So if I'm going to be a help to somebody, if I'm going to help somebody, I've got to take these first two steps to get started. Number one, I've got to connect with them. I've got to touch them. Got to call them to the side. Got to make it personal, right? Is that right? Got to make it personal. You want to help somebody? You want to make a difference in someone's life? Make it personal. Make it personal. Well, preacher, I don't have time to make it personal. Well, cut something out to make it personal if you're going to help somebody. Well, I'm busy. Well, we're all busy. It'll be an inconvenience for me. That may be exactly what God wants it to be to help somebody, an inconvenience. I'm glad that God doesn't expect us to live by conveniences. Can I tell you, sometimes God will inconvenience you. God will inconvenience me. That's right. It helps us know what our priorities are. So we connected with him. Then number two, the scripture says he looked up. He looked up. And I'm going to use the word communion. Then I want you to look at this next thing in verse number 34. Looking up into heaven, he sighed. He was sorrowful. That word sigh is it's a word of sorrow. He was sorrowful. He had compassion on this man. He hated it that this man was in the condition he was in. Can I tell you that if I'm ever, and don't you miss the connection here now, if I'm ever going to have compassion, have you ever wondered to yourself, why don't I have more compassion? That'd be easier for me to wonder why you don't have more compassion. Right? But we're going to make it personal here. Why don't I have more compassion? Be easier for me to say, I wonder why Brother Carl don't have more compassion. And I could probably list six ways. But it's not for me to ask why Carl doesn't have compassion. I need to ask why I don't have more compassion. God, why don't I have more compassion? I believe the answer is right here. Got to spend time with God. You got to know where your help comes from. See, God will put his hurt for people in your heart. He will. You know the people that are really trying to help people? People that are spending time with God. Because God's telling them, there's a hurting world out there, and I want to use you to help them. So when I'm not trying to help people, the first thing I need to look at is, how much time am I spending with God? Because spending time with God makes me want to help people. How about you? Raise your hand. Say, when I spend time with God, it makes me want to help. If it's real now, if it's not real, when I spend time with God, it makes me want to help people. When I don't spend time with God, it makes me want to do what I want to do and not what God wants to do me to do. So here it is. He touched him. He called him to the side. He made it personal. He said, you're important. Then the scripture says that he looked up into heaven. He said, this is where your help's coming from right here. Then he sighed. He said, I want you to know that I care about your pain. It concerns me that you're going through this. You know, I get caught up in people's troubles. It bothers me when people are in trouble. It does. I'm not apologizing for that. I realize that can be dangerous sometimes. But I'd rather get caught up in people's troubles than not even care about them. How about you? I don't know what it is about some folks, but they could just care less about people in trouble. Say they're Christians. Just care less. People in trouble, struggling. Oh, I'm not going to. I just whatever. Hey, I don't want to be that way. I've been criticized for caring too much. Are you kidding me? I don't care enough. I want God to help me to care more. We're Christians, brethren. God's called every one of us to ministry. Every one of us. He's called us into ministry. Who are you ministering to? Sometimes when we hear the word ministry, all we think about is what we're going to get out of it. Who's going to minister to me? The ministry that God's called me to and you to is the ministry to help others. It is. So I'm going through a hard time. I don't doubt that at all. There's people sitting on the sound of my voice, whether they're in the sanctuary or watching by live stream. We all go through hard times. But I want to give you a challenge. If you'll reach out and help someone as you go through a hard time, God will use it, and it'll become therapeutic spiritually to your soul. It will. So the scripture says that he looked up into heaven and he sighed, which means he had compassion. What's going to give us compassion for people? We've got to get out there and touch people. Right? You see the way he did? He sighed. He touched him. He looked up. He connected with him. He had compassion. And then the Bible says that he uttered, be open. Epaphatha. Be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the testimony of Fellowship Baptist Church, and I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church, I thank God for the church body. Wouldn't it be something if people say, I tell you right now, that Fellowship Baptist Church, they minister to people. Not just the preacher, the pastor, staff, or the deacons, the church. Right? And I realize some of you do. But all of us need to. Children, listen to me. You need to find somebody to minister to. You need to find somebody to minister to. I read the story about a young kid in elementary school. Went to school and came home that day, and his mother said, what's wrong, Billy? You look sad. He said, I am sad. What are you sad about, Billy? He said, well, my friend came to school today, and he was crying. And I asked him, what's you sad about? And he said, my dad died. She said, what did you do, Billy? He said, I put my head down on my desk and cried with him. You know, sometimes I think we think to help people, we've got to do all these great, big, elaborate things, and we've got to spend a bunch of money and invest hours and hours of time. Sometimes somebody just might want you to cry with them. Just might want you to listen to them. Just might want you to share a scripture with them. You know? They might want you to just like, do like Jesus done. Call this man away from the multitude and let him know, you mean something to me. You mean something to me. I want to spend some personal time with you because I care about you. They may just need a touch. I don't know. You never know what people need, and you never will either until we get out there and begin to minister to them. Who's going to minister to people if we don't? Who's going to do it? Washington? What was the response? Well, the first thing they did is they done what every one of us ought to do. They went into the publishing business. We need to get into the publishing business. And we need to start letting people know what Jesus can do. They published it, didn't they? The more he told them not to, the greater they did it. They published it. Then number two, the Bible says in verse number 37, they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Amen. What stories do you have to tell about him doing all things well? Just about what he's done in your life or mine, about what he's done in my life? Or are there instances in your life that God has worked in your situation as you were ministering to people where you can say, God did well there, God did well there, God did well there, God did well there? He does all things well. Not just in my life. Everything God gets involved with, he does well. We think about going to heaven and hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I think that ought to be the goal of every believer. Amen? Get to heaven and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you know, I believe we're going to get to heaven and say, well done. What a great Savior. Lord, you've done all things well. I want to say that here. I do. Let's all stand. This miracle was a miracle. No different. Jesus done a mighty work. Right? Done a mighty work. But he did it in a way that he was showing us a format here. And he was saying, I'm doing this, but I'm not always going to be here. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Learn what it is to impact people's lives. I asked some time ago that the folks of Fellowship Baptist Church would choose one family and minister to them. I hope you've done that. If you haven't, I pray that you will. You say, well, I'm not a member here. If you attend Fellowship Baptist Church, would you find some people to minister to? Maybe just start with one family. I'm going to minister to this family or to this person. I am going to minister to them. Say, I don't want to be in ministry. Well, something's wrong with you. Now, you listen to me. If you say you're saved and you say you belong to God, and you don't want to help people, something's not right. There's something broken now in your life. I can't say if you're saved or not. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you this. When you get saved, God just puts it in your heart to want to help people, want to minister to people. Well, God hasn't called me to preach. I'm not talking about being called to preach. I'm not talking about teaching a Sunday school class. I'm talking about helping somebody, giving them the gospel, telling them about Jesus, telling them that Jesus is the answer, helping somebody that's hurting, that's struggling, making a difference in their life. God help you and God help me to do that. Let's bow our heads together.